Welcome to the Millionaire Mindcast, where we broadcast weekly interviews with millionaire minds from across the globe to empower you on your journey of unlocking a rich and fulfilling life. It's time to unleash your millionaire within. Now, here's your host, Matty A.
What's going on, guys? I am back. We got some fire lined up for today. I told you I was bringing the heat. Well, not necessarily me. I'm asking the questions, right? But my guest today definitely brought the heat. This was one of my favorite interviews that I've done in quite some time, just because of the overall conversation, because not only is she an expert in this space, her ability to storytell is very, very unique. And on top of that, she just knows what the hell she's talking about. So this is a topic on emotional intelligence. And Bonnie Kelly is somebody that has not only a crazy story of, you know, what led her to finding this journey through emotional intelligence and learning more about it and then becoming really a master at it and now teaching and training and authoring all kinds of, you know, studies and teachings in the space of emotional intelligence. But she's just an awesome human being, always looking to serve, always looking to add value, love her energy, and I had pages of notes. So this is one of those episodes where you're definitely going to want to pause and take notes and rewind. If you're like me listening to it on 2x or 1.5, there's going to be a lot of those spaces in this particular conversation where you're going to stop. So make sure that you have your pen handy, your notebook handy, and you're ready to take some great notes because, like I said, emotional intelligence, in my opinion, is the key to unlocking happiness, fulfillment, wealth, success, achievement in all areas of your life, not just financially. And the conversation that we had today was powerful. So I hope you're ready. And without wasting any more time, let's dive into today's interview with Ms. Bonnie Kelly. What is going down, Bonnie Kelly?
Hey, Maddie, how are you?
You know what? I am fired up and I'm really actually excited about the topic that you specialize in because I believe it is such an important and, you know, it's absolutely critical to not only just being successful, but to really vibrating and showing up at the highest levels of life and having the greatest impact, in my opinion. It's something that I'm constantly trying to strengthen the muscle around, which is emotional intelligence. You've written a book on it. You speak on it, you teach and train on it. I mean, this is essentially your life, correct?
It is totally. Yeah. Yeah. This is, it's funny if you would have asked me 10 years ago, what would you be doing with your life? And it, like, emotional intelligence was not even in my vocabulary, but, it is such the center focal point that most people don't even know, that leads you to success or failure. And so when we can begin to start harnessing the power of emotional intelligence and reprogramming our minds, things will be a lot more effortless. Is that's the key word, right? I feel like 2018 really should be ease, right? And effortlessness as a mantra, because, you know, we can get out of these ideas that we have to struggle or fight to get what we want.
Yeah. Well, before we dive into this whole conversation around emotional intelligence, because I know we're really going to be not only unpacking it for a lot of people that really just maybe aren't familiar with it or they've heard about it, but they don't really know what it entails, to actually talking about some tangible takeaways that people can work on to maybe reprogram. You said something that just got me fired up before we were talking. You said, reprogram your mind to make millions. And oftentimes our subconscious are the files that have been stacked away in our filing cabinet, AKA our brain, for so many years, are filled with the wrong content or are the things that aren't going to empower us to do that. So I'm excited to kind of reprogram a little bit, but I really want people to understand, and I'm curious to know a little bit more of a backdrop into how you fell into this space, but also just taking us through a little bit of your past, because you have a very powerful story that I'm not sure if it led you into this space or becoming more emotionally intelligent, but, you know, why don't you share that?
Yeah, totally. And actually it totally led me into this. Like I said, 10 years ago, I never, ever would have guessed that this is what I would have been doing with my life. And, you know, for anybody, this is the first time you're hearing about me, learning about me. I have a story like most other people, filled with hardship, pain, and trauma, like most of us do. I was a homeless teen at 14 years old. I was addicted to drugs, in and out of jail and in and out of rehab. A lot of people don't know that. I struggled with a lot of sexual abuse and physical abuse. I came from a family where I didn't know my real father. I didn't grow up with him. We had to grow up calling him and only knowing him as Mr. Nobody, and that Mr. Nobody doesn't love us. So if you can imagine, there was a lot of psychological damage that happened with that upbringing. And, you know, as a result, it wasn't that my parents were vicious or vile. It's just that they didn't know better. And they were operating on their best programming based on what their conditioning was, what their parents conditioned them, what society conditioned them, where their limited scope of their emotional intelligence was. And so you have broken people raising broken people. Does that make sense? They're breaking people because they only know that's how they do. And so then what happened is that I ended up developing these really core beliefs that I was worthless and I wasn't good enough and I was unlovable. Now, if you imagine, I haven't even graduated high school yet when these thoughts entered into my heart and mind. Now, think of it. If you're operating on a belief that says that you can't do anything right, I mean, Matt, what kind of job are you going to take?
You're going to take the worst job.
What kind of guys are you going to date? Well, you're girls, date- for you.
Yeah. Hey, what are you trying to say over here? Well, you're going to, no, absolutely. I mean, your programming is going to lead your internal is going to obviously reflect your external.
Yes. And so all of these beliefs were showing up in my life, right? I was broke paycheck to paycheck. I had no money. I could make money and lose money. I had dead end job after dead end job. I was in abusive relationship after abusive relationship. This is hint, hint, what we call the cycle of self-sabotage. Okay. So there's a little clue right there to recognize that if you notice that you're repeating the same negative things, same negative experiences over and over again, if your bank account keeps going to zero over and over again, that's called a cycle of self-sabotage. There's something under the surface that we've experienced in our past that has conditioned us to believe a certain way that is now driving our decisions. You know, Gandhi said it best when he said it was your beliefs become your thoughts become your habits, your habits or your habits become your actions drive your destiny. What he's saying is that your beliefs is what it is that you believe about yourself and your life. And those beliefs were installed in your mind without your permission. Without your permission. They got installed in your mind on accident. And they are what are driving your decisions, your actions, reactions, interactions. And it isn't until you start to invest in learning how to be more emotionally intelligent, learning how to reprogram your subconscious mind, learning how to enhance your awareness, is when you can begin to break those cycles and transform your life any way that you desire.
And I know we're going to unpack a little bit of that. I'm curious to know from your own personal perspective, hitting wall and ceiling and, you know, roadblock and challenge over and over and over again. When was it that you kind of had this aha of like, something has to change. There's got to be something else out there that I can do differently. And where did you start?
Oh my gosh. I love this question because I wish I could say, and I feel like this is like the biggest aha for most people, that it's like this one pivotal moment. But no, you have dozens of them before you actually find the right combination of solutions to change your life. I'll be honest, right? I came to this conclusion a dozen and one times, Matt, where I was like, I need to change my life. I am messed up. I'm all kinds of muggled up in my head. I need to change my stuff. I need to get it together. I'm a hot mess. And you would try and you would have like temporary motivation. But because most people are teaching you how to change the surface level issues and not getting to the core.
Right.
And so I would start, stop, start, stop, start, stop, because the unconscious mind was so powerful. They say it controls 80% of what you do on a day-to-day basis, Matt, 80%. And so I can think I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. But if I believe I'm a loser, I'm a loser, I'm a loser, then my belief is going to undermine my best conscious efforts to change my life. So for me, that turning point happened two different fronts. So I reconnected with my real father. He lived out here in California. That's why I'm out in Cali. He lived out in California. So I came out here when I was 21 to meet him. And I never left. But he was studying personal development. So he opened this door of understanding this idea. Pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. So that was actually, it's a quote in Buddhism. It's one of their core philosophies. Pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. What it means is that everybody experiences pain. My pain was being a victim of sexual abuse. My pain was being a victim of physical abuse and mental abuse, emotional abuse. That was my pain. Suffering happens when you drag that story into every interaction, into every situation, into every relationship. And that means your relationship with money, your relationship with yourself, your relationship with others, okay? I'm not just specifically saying one area. I mean, these beliefs will infect all areas of your life. And so when I realized that, it was like this atomic bomb went off in my head. It was like, wait a minute. All of my suffering, because I was continuing to suffer every day, feeling worthless, feeling no self-confidence, being broke. I was miserable, Matt. The pain was so, or the suffering was so thick. And when I realized that that was my choice, I dove deep into understanding how I could choose differently. And that's what led me into emotional intelligence, which was led me into understanding the power of the subconscious mind.
And I know you have been obsessed with studying this field and this space, which is why myself and so many other people would consider you an expert. Obviously, you put on events, you write books, you get, you know, asked to speak at massive corporations down to intimate mastermind settings. For those that, you know, maybe understand a little bit about what emotional intelligence is, or, you know, the idea around it, how can you easily package it up to where someone can subscribe to actually what it means and how it may apply to them? And then, secondly, how can they take inventory of maybe where their emotional intelligence currently is at?
Yeah. Well, the easiest way, the easiest indicators is to follow your reactions. How reactive are you to life and life situations? What I mean by that is that when somebody says something, do you instantly take it personal? Do you get defensive? Are you argumentative? Do you feel the need to protect yourself or fight? What is happening emotionally? I mean, emotional intelligence is really those two words: emotional, understanding the emotion, being intelligent about your emotions. Really, that's the sum of it, right? It's understanding what you're feeling, but more so, why are you feeling that way? Like, what thoughts generated that feeling? What belief, which, and again, a belief is a past conditioning, is driving you to think this way, which is then fueling the feeling, which is then usually driving an action or reaction. So if you want, like, the systematic easiest thing for you to do is just to grab what I call a little notepad, right? So it's one of my husband's notepads here. You grab a little notepad and you carry around with for a week, or grab your cell phone. I mean, crap, you guys all have note sections in your phones, right? They're smart nowadays. And you check in multiple times and you ask yourself, how am I feeling right now? How am I feeling? And if your feelings are numb, if you're agitated, bored, annoyed, or demotivated in some manner, that tells you then there's probably a negative thought associated that's been left unchallenged in the mind. So then you go from the feeling and you ask yourself, what are my thoughts? What am I thinking? What's going on in the space of my mind? Because your thoughts are what causing you to feel that way. And then after a week of that simple process, just monitoring your thoughts and feelings, what do you think? What do you feel? What do you think? What do you feel? Monitor that for a week, multiple times a day. Don't wait till the end of the day because you will forget. You're going to notice a pattern. And from that pattern is going to be clues to what's lurking in the subconscious mind that needs your immediate attention.
So someone takes an audit, they take inventory, they start seeing some maybe red flags or some clues to areas they may need to push into a little bit more, explore a little deeper. How do they start to break down and rebuild up the right emotional programming?
Yeah. Not to do a shameless self-plug, but get my book because it's going to give you all the steps, seriously, of what I'm going to tell you, because the process is much more involved. It's much more in depth than what I can explain to you just on this podcast. But the simplest form is what we need to do is reprogram, rewire the way that your subconscious mind operates. Now, I want to get neuro-geeky on you for a moment, okay?
Let's do it.
I want you guys to understand how the basic functions of your brain is working. Every program, so a program is how you fold your clothes, how you brush your teeth, how you interact, how you view yourself, okay? A lot of different programs exist in the mind. They're like files, like Matt was saying. They're different files in the mind. Some of them are infected with viruses and some are not. Well, our goal is to find the infected files and install what I call antivirus software for the mind. Okay, that's really what we want to begin to do. Well, taking inventory is going to help us find that. But once you start finding the patterns, the big ones, and there's 10 common, okay, there's 10 common viruses of the mind, is then we need to physically transform the way your brain functions. Now, I say physically because these programs are really just neural clusters in the brain. It is just they've developed pathways and associations in the mind and how you function. For example, if you've had a lot of trauma around love, okay, every time you feel love, you might also simultaneously feel pain and protection. Okay, so all of a sudden, every time you feel this normal emotion, these other ones are hooked into that, and we're not going to want to feel love, so we become unwilling to be vulnerable, closed off, and guarded. Because every time we feel love, we feel pain. Well, that's a physical association we need to break ties with and be able to allow ourselves to experience this and start connecting love to different things in your mind. So when I'm saying rewire, every action, every thought, every new behavior, every new interaction, what Tony Robbins calls pattern interrupting, right? When you do something different than your norm, is you're forming 2,000 new neural clusters in the brain. 2,000 new ones. Every time you choose to think differently, every time you choose to behave different, respond different, act different, new clusters are formed. So if you can imagine, if you were hyper-focused on, let's say making $1 million this year, okay, having $1 million mindset, you become super focused on that, you're going to have to, but your old programming is that money is hard or only the rich get richer. Mm-hmm. Let's say that that's your programming. Okay. Sure. That neural cluster probably has billions with a B connections thick. If you start thinking now, okay, the positive ones, all you're going against this old, it would take you years to master breaking through that. So there are faster ways to begin to kind of hijack the brain. That's where neuro-linguistic programming techniques come in, tapping, acupressure. So there's a lot of different techniques that you can begin to use to supercharge your new way of thinking so you can expedite it faster. However, the absolute fastest thing you can do is figure out why you believe these old programs in the first place. What files are in that folder, okay? So that means what stories, what memories, what evidence have you gathered to support the old? So you begin to poke holes in it to weaken its stability while affirming the new. So you're creating a physical change by also disproving the old way of thinking. Mm. And that process together can begin to expedite the transformation and allow you to begin to have a millionaire mindset that will serve you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that because I've been kind of on this journey and going down this path for quite some time myself. And no matter whether you're in business, whether it's in your relationship with your spouse or your partner, with your kids, your family, whatever, mm-hmm. Being more emotionally aware only serves you at a much higher level.
Yeah.
And Marie and I, being fully transparent, my wife and I were going through with a new baby and kind of reworking our relationship and all these, we were going through some turbulence. And I hired an NLP coach who took me through some hypnotherapy and some other things. Cause I was like, you know, I feel like I'm an emotionally aware person and I know how to show up in a lot of other areas, but for some reason in my relationship, sometimes I feel like I don't know how to show up there. And why is that? And I couldn't really get to the root of it. And so I went on this journey for just about a year of working with this woman who was fantastic in helping me identify, one, what was my thought patterns and beliefs around this and how they were actually showing up in my relationship, but then also how can I get to the root of the cause and, like you said, rewire. And what I realized was a lot of in high school early on, a lot of my influences in the environment I was around, mm-hmm. was played a big role in how I communicated and treated my wife at certain times in our relationship when turbulence came up. And so it was really enlightening to kind of go through this process and not only go, oh, well, that's why, but then to also deconstruct of, you know, shedding and releasing a lot of those things and going, I don't need to be that anymore, or I can empower myself to make a choice to change and be different. But then there was also the work that came after it was the disciplines and the habits. So how do you, once you work through that stuff, how do you internalize it and make it to where it becomes habitual and it's this, you know, this habit that just shows up for you instead of you having to constantly, you know, oh, I'm doing it again.
You're going to hate this response, Matt, and everybody does, because the only answer is time and repetition.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like, okay, I refer to like a new program in the mind is like planting a, let's say, nut tree. Now, Matt and I both live in Northern California, so we have a lot of farmers around us.
Okay? We do.
But when you plant, let's say, an almond tree, it takes 7 years to harvest, like to harvest the nuts, to harvest, I don't think they're fruit. I keep saying to harvest the fruit, but that's not what they are. But it takes 7 years before you can actually have a bountiful harvest. Doesn't mean that there's not fruit present before that, but it takes that long. So if you can just remember that, that this is a process. Now, once the new program kind of overtakes the old program, right? But now again, each new thought, each new habit, each new response, we're expanding the new neural clusters by 2,000. Doing NLP week expedites that, right? NLP work, right? It just constantly, it expands it at a much rapider pace. Same thing with hypnosis, as you were saying, EMDR, a lot of different techniques. And if you don't want to go pay somebody, Google tapping techniques, okay? There's hundreds of thousands of YouTube videos on tapping. And you could do tapping money mindset, tapping millionaire mindset. I mean, there's hundreds
of thousands. And this is as in tapping, like tapping into?
Nope, tapping. Physically tapping.
Physically tapping.
Yeah, because what
Explain
it's
this
doing.
A little bit more. I've never heard of tapping.
Really?
No, I've
never. So it's really popular right now. It was just on Oprah's thing last year as well. She had it on her Super Soul Sunday. Tapping is what is called a acupressure kind of neural stimulation. And what it's doing is that it's sending different signals to the brain. So you touch on different key parts, and usually the really soft parts of the mind and of the body, while affirming what you want to feel. A lot of people use this when they're feeling stressed, overwhelmed, anxious, when they're feeling, they're teaching it in schools now, which is really exciting to help kids with their overwhelm. And what you're doing is that you're sending these neural signals to the brain to pay attention, and it's electrifying different aspects of the brain with each physical touch. And so when you're beginning to touch these different areas and you're affirming, I am a millionaire, it's not only expanding that neural cluster, it's expanding it at a much rapider pace because of the fact that it has all of this electro signals that's going through the mind. So it's a free, affordable, easy to learn thing. Anybody, no excuses, can get access to right now. And if you, even for you, Matt, if you can pick up that technique, it'll expedite whatever that transformation you're trying to make in your life very, very rapidly. And it helps you become calmer. It's just a brilliant technique. I mean, there's other ones too, which is called VACing, which is a visual audio kinesthetic reprogramming technique. That one's not as widely popular. That's actually one that I learned from my father over a decade ago. And that one uses the different stimulation of eye movement, auditory learning techniques, and then physical touch, which is also crossing the right and left hemispheres of the brain. That one's a little bit more complex, but I'm sure if you Googled it, you'd probably be able to find that as well. And these are just different NLP techniques. And I know there are dozens more out there that I'm not even aware of. But these are techniques that are going to help kind of speed up the growth of the new program. So, you know, to come back to what we were saying, Matt, I mean, that's, you know, it's really time and it's consistency, but and that'll develop because we have to do the work into understanding the reasons why we behave the old way. If you don't understand the old behavior, where did it come from? How is it serving me? What is its purpose? Because when you're reacting, there actually is a purpose to that. And typically it's to protect yourself in some form, right? And it's it's a delusion, because that self form of protection is actually what continues to keep you stuck and hurts you. But we have to understand it, because we can't replace it if we don't understand it. So that investigation is huge. And then doing that constant repetition. And if you're using techniques like hypnotherapy, EMDR, NLP techniques, that's going to expedite the growth pattern faster. And then eventually you'll be able to reap the harvest that you grew.
So obviously emotional intelligence is something that, you know, science has really shown empowers obviously human potential and performance personally.
Yeah.
I'm always curious to know, what is your belief in regards to why it should be a part of everybody's annual, daily, weekly, monthly, whatever growth plan, and how it can serve them moving forward?
Okay. So I'm going to answer that after I actually tell you, because you kind of left a little nugget in there about, you know, how it enhances performance. I want to give you some stats on how important this skill is. That the top income performers all have high levels of emotional intelligence. Okay. So they're talking that 90% of the top income performers have high levels of emotional intelligence.
And is there like a scale, or what is the rating, I guess? How would you quantify what is high emotional?
So Daniel Goldman is actually the founder. Okay. He's like the founder of emotional intelligence. And okay. It's only been around for about, I would say, 25, 30 years. This language, this terminology of emotional intelligence. And he has a book, it's Emotional Intelligence 2.0. Yep. And it's going to teach you kind of a lot of these statistics on knowing that people with a high level of emotional intelligence, get this, make on average 20,000 euro more than people who don't have this. Mm. This one skill, just learning the skill, could potentially increase your revenue by 20 grand. Is that not worth an investment on your part? I mean, come on, you guys, like, this is huge. So this is, but how they measure it, there's all kinds of assessments that you can take, right? There's just online assessments like the DISC, you know, that you can take on to determine your emotional intelligence. Stick to the I would say stick to like the Daniel Goldman ones, because being that he's like the founder, I think there's a lot of information on the internet nowadays. So you really want to source to find some of the better ones that are available.
Daniel Goldman.
Yeah. So now to answer your question, though, is that my personal belief around why this should be incorporated in everything, including schools, is because there's too much hurt in this world. And when I say hurt, I mean, when we are hurt, it's primitive to want to hurt others. And it's hurt people who hurt people. Just like I was saying first, when we were talking about my past, like, my parents aren't bad people. They were doing their best with what they had available. Right. But because they were broken and hurt, they raised broken and hurt children. So if you think about what kind of an impact we could make on this world, if everyone knew how to understand what they feel, to understand the motives behind their behaviors and their reactions and their interactions, to understand, you know, how they are participating in their lack, how they're participating in their suffering. When they can understand that, we can free ourselves of a lot of needless suffering, a lot of hurt that we all, as society, as humans, are operating on. And we can begin to stop taking things so personal, begin to really make decisions from love and grace, and then start to make a real impact in this world that is going to radically transform how all of us exist. So that's my opinion.
You know, it's interesting.
Sticking to it.
Yeah, because we all do have the ability to choose the meaning behind what happens to us, how we interpret it, and how we choose to respond. And what I'm hearing is emotional intelligence enhances those superpowers to help you make the right choice that is going to serve you, not hinder you.
Yeah. And I love that you say superpower. I tell all my students that it is a superpower, but not to steal from Spider-Man, but he says with great power comes great responsibility. And it is challenging because, you know, the amount of unconscious, unintentional dysfunction that is in this world, okay, is huge. I mean, I would say only a small percentage of people invest in becoming emotionally intelligent. the vast majority continue to operate on programs that were pre-existing from their childhood. So you're making decisions of because of an experience you had at 13 years old. Right. Now, I don't know about you. I don't trust my money, my bank account, any of that with my 13-year-old self because my 13-year-old self is going to sabotage. She's going to go spend it all and have a heck of a good time and be broke tomorrow. The adult self had to reprogram herself away from that. And I know what it means to come from having no money to having multiple six-figure income businesses. Like, I know that spread. And that comes from completely transforming my mind because I think the craziest story, Matt, was when I first started learning money mindset. I decided that I was going to change. I got heavy into the law of attraction, into the Master Key system, Wallace Wattles, right? Like I was obsessed with these guys and really understanding. And sure enough, it worked. Okay. It totally worked.
Isn't it weird though how the most woo-woo or sometimes unexplainable things have the greatest impact and actually right. have the biggest return.
Right. You know, and what was interesting though, you'll like this. So it worked. I mean, I went from making, you know, $18,000 a year to making $250,000 a year, right? So it was just like, boom, what's up guys, right? I was so stoked and I was still broke. I was still going paycheck to paycheck. I had, and I couldn't figure out, okay, I understood it at $13,000 a year, but why am I broke at $250,000 a year? It was because like I changed my money mindset, but I hadn't changed my behavioral patterns. Mm-hmm. And so there are much deeper levels into understanding. Not only it's like, okay, like, yes, now I can attract money, but now it's about understanding how to invest money, how to save money, how to manage money. Because if you didn't grow up with that, if you grew up where your parents live paycheck to paycheck, like mine did, you only understand a paycheck mentality. So you're going to want to watch yourself as you continue to grow, right? Maybe the first step for you is to adopt a money mindset, right? Is to get into this place of understanding that you love money, that money is not evil, that it's okay to be wealthy, that you can do these great things and to feel okay with that. And then from there, it's like what patterns, and this is where you need to invest in other people and investing in, okay, how do I budget? How do I save? What's a good savings plan? You know, what are smart, you know, investments? And that's all things that you're going to have to learn. So make sure you challenge your ego, you know, if it comes up, because it's very easy to get into this, like, well, I make money. Yeah. But do you keep it? You know, it's the real question.
Yeah. I was reading Ryan Holiday's book, Ego is the Enemy. And
love that book, by the way.
And one of the thing that the lines that always sticks out for me, and you know, I'm going to paraphrase this, but essentially it was like, your ego is like sweeping the floor, right? Just because you did it that one day and it's clean and you checked it doesn't mean that dust and dirt isn't going to accumulate the next day, right?
Oh my gosh, I love that.
It's a constant, going back to EI, right? And emotional intelligence is to constantly keep that awareness and that discipline.
Yep.
Paired with the consistency up to keep moving through. Cause it's just cause you go like, for example, you, right? Like many would consider you an expert in the space and yet you have a discipline and a habit and a consistency around the things that need to be done every day to keep that level of intelligence and emotional awareness up, right?
Yes. Well, and that's why, you know, I love that he's using sweeping the floor. I often talk about the mind being a garden is that if you're not out there constantly de-weeding your garden, the weeds will take over and they're going to grow faster and stronger and they're going to kill the beautiful flowers that you planted. And it's not that the weeds are necessarily bad. It's just that your brain is designed for survival. And so it's going to try to protect you at all costs. And a lot of times your weeds are based in fear. They're these survival mechanisms that are implanted in your mind. That's why your inner critic is like the meanest, greenest gremlin alive, right? Is because he's actually trying to keep you small, to keep you safe. He's so afraid that if you do step out, that you're going to get abandoned. Or worse, you're going to validate that you're a loser or that you suck or you can't do it. And so, you know, we have to recognize that the weeds in our mind serve a purpose. However, they're not serving your highest purpose. And so that's where we can begin to change the way, because a lot of times, I mean, negative thoughts have a bad rap. I mean, truthfully, like everybody's like, no negative thinking. And it's like, good luck with that. Okay. Your brain's made for survival. It's going to have negative thoughts, but we want to begin to acknowledge, and say, oh, there's a negative thought. Why is it here? Oh, okay, I'm feeling afraid. Thank you for that. Now we can pivot to something positive. That's getting on your hands and knees and pulling the weeds out of your garden. So then that way you can enjoy the beautiful flowers that you plant.
Yeah, that's, I forget who was that said this, but they, you know, essentially in that context, emotions are just feedback, right? Your anger or being upset or frustrated or scared isn't a bad thing. And you don't always have to be positive. Everybody thinks that, you know, you have to be positive 24/7. And if you feel those emotions, you're a bad person and you're not, you know, disciplined at the highest level. And it's like, no, you're actually a human being. So you're okay. Like don't, you know, the world isn't crumbling beneath your feet, but handling your emotions in a productive and constructive way is what will improve your life and empower you to become stronger and more aware and better, instead of punishing yourself for being negative that day or having something bad to say or whatever. You know, so you got to take the good with the bad and just most importantly, process it in an important and powerful way.
Yeah. So one of the things that I teach a lot, so I grew up in a family full of mechanics. A lot of people don't know that. So I actually use a lot of car analogies when I teach emotional intelligence, like if we really nice. Dove into it. But one of the ones
This is a side note. What's your favorite car?
Well, I'm like a 69 Corvette.
Ooh, you're a muscle car girl. All right.
I am. Yeah. But I am obsessed with the Tesla right now. Like I really am obsessed with the Tesla. I think like Tesla is like, side note, but it's like we're seeing the Model T's coming off the line for the first time, right? Yeah. It's not the absolute best, but we're seeing the first line of like a new generation of cars. I know. It's so exciting. Anyways.
Yeah, I digress.
Okay, and we're back. But one of the things that I usually often say was with emotions is it's kind of like the check engine light coming on in your car. And so if you can recognize that when your emotions flare up, the ones that you've dubbed to be toxic or bad, when they come up, it's not mean that you need to throw your car away. It doesn't mean you need to slam it into the side rails. Is that when that check engine light comes on, it's just a warning. It says, hey, tune in, something's off. We need to pay attention here. And when we can change our relationship to our emotions and we can begin to like stop fighting them and stop, you know, hiding from them, and we can begin to start to recognize that they're there to serve you. They're there to let you know, like when you're angry, when you're hurt, when you're feeling distressed and sad and overwhelmed, all of those emotions are there to say, hey, you know what? Tune in. Maybe you need some time out. Maybe you need to rest. Maybe you need to say no. Maybe you need to voice your opinions or know that you matter or trust in yourself. And when we can begin to reflect on our emotions in that way, we'll start to use them, because part of the definition of emotional intelligence is when you use your emotions as guides to navigate your behavior. That's part of the truest definition. So when you can start to recognize that your emotions aren't bad or good, it's that they're guides. They're there to let you know, like, oh, I need a timeout right now. I'm feeling a little bit distressed. Let me figure out why. Where is it coming from? What is its purpose? Those are my two favorite questions. You should write that down. If you're listening to this, pause, go back. What am I feeling? Why am I feeling this way? And where did it come from? And what purpose? I guess there's three. On repeat, I just keep adding. But truthfully, what are you feeling? Why are you feeling, and where did it come from? Because if we can understand the source of it, that's where you can truly influence the greatest change. But if you don't know that you're feeling scared, then you're not going to be able to mind over matter your way through it. You have to understand, okay, I'm feeling afraid. Well, why am I feeling this way? I'm so afraid that I'm going to fail at this that I don't want to try. Now, that's deep honesty when you can get to that point, like serious honesty. But when you can become that honest with yourself, now you've given yourself all of the information you need to say, okay, I'm going to continue or I'm going to change. And now you can choose, you can acknowledge, okay, yes, it is scary. Yes, I might fail. Yep, this might end miserably. I might, you know, totally lose everything. That is possible. But you know what else is possible? I could have success in this. I could succeed, and I could finally be happy with my life choices. So you have to really begin to negotiate with yourself. And that's really another skill of emotional intelligence, is your ability to reason with your emotions. You have to be able to reason with yourself.
You brought up a key word, which I think at the end of the day is what each and every individual pursues on a daily basis at the root, which is happiness. How does emotional intelligence tie into increased happiness?
Oh my gosh, I love this. Huge, 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 huge. Because once you master emotional intelligence, you truly recognize you always have a choice, not only in how you think, but in how you feel. And so you start to choose things to engage more happiness in your life. Not to mention your mindset around your viewpoint, your perception of life and reality and the people in it is to this place where you're confident and you're not taking things personal. You recognize that every single individual is having their own unique experience separate from yours. And so you begin to have love and patience and grace with the most dysfunctional people in this world. I mean, that's true happiness, is where I can be sitting here and it could be a miserable storm around me and I have a smile on my face. That is the ultimate key to emotional freedom and happiness, is that you get to decide. And when you realize that it's 100% your responsibility to be happy, your responsibility, not your spouse's, not your friends, not your jobs, not your money's, your responsibility for happiness. And when you can connect into that, you can become an unstoppable force for joy.
I'm processing that right now, because that was pretty deep right there. But I find that it's such a powerful statement to go, if I can emotionally become happy, like it reminds me of the documentary Happy, right? Where there's these people on Wall Street and all kinds of people that are, you know, out there grinding and hustling and doing all these things to make financial milestones and gains, and yet they're super unfulfilled and unhappy. And then there's the people that are dirt poor, living in third world countries and villages with barely any running water and heat and things like that, and yet they're super happy.
Yeah.
And so when I often ask the question is, what does wealth mean to you? Mm-hmm. Oftentimes you hear the, you know, do what I want, when I want, with who I want, and things like that, which I think every answer is unique and it's theirs, right? It's their answer. So, but when you look at the root of maybe wealth and creation, the root of everything seems to go back to people just being happy, right?
Wanting to be happy. Yeah. Because all of those things that you desire that maybe you don't have right now in your life, you know, the reason why we think that that's going to give us the fulfillment that we seek, and to some degree it might, you know, and honestly, in the first, I can't remember, I'm going to butcher this, but in the first line of Wallace Waddell's book is that he talks about, you know, the only way to be immensely happy is to be rich. And the reason why he's saying that now, that probably triggered half of you. I get it. Okay. Like half of you are like, money is the root of all evil. Yes, I get it. Okay. Like I get it. But you need to challenge that, because that's why you're broke. But the truth is, like, it's not that money is making us happy. It's just that the opportunities that money provides to allow us to be more happy. And it allows us to like kind of get into the connection with what we love. Now, for example, when I first started my coaching business, right now I have a multiple six-figure income coaching business, which I'm super proud of. I'm so excited. I get to do what I love every single day. I never feel like I'm working. However, to build this company, I was in real estate. I had built a top producing team that I was connected with, and I was grinding. And while I was building, I had to straddle both, because at first my coaching business wasn't making any money. And so my point is that I wasn't my blissful, happy every day that I am now in my business, because I'm doing what I love. But it was doing the things that I wasn't necessarily in love with anymore, because I was when I started, but then I just kind of, you know, decided that that wasn't my path. I had to do both. Now, at first, I was really resentful that I had to still have my leg in the real estate basket to be financially successful. And I was really frustrated about it. Well, what I found is then all of a sudden my deals weren't going through. I noticed that I wasn't manifesting as many deals. Well, it's because, you know, I was repulsing the energy of money. My mindset was saying, like, don't give me any more of this. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. And I had to quickly say, like, whoa, wait a minute. No, I'm really appreciative that I can run this company still while building this other one. This is giving me that freedom. So it's really about changing the way you relate to whatever job you're in right now. Recognize it doesn't have to be permanent, and begin to find ways to appreciate it as you're transitioning towards something greater that you love. Like if you're becoming a six-figure flipper, Okay, if that's your thing, you know, it's going to take time to really build that. I mean, Maddie didn't become a millionaire overnight. Like, it took a while for him to develop that business, to grow that. And you had to have your leg in the real estate world too, didn't you?
Yes.
Right? You ran a team. Like, I know you.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
And so we have to make sure that we're managing our minds around where is your energy? Like, where's your emotion? Is it going into resentful, anger, frustration for your current situation? Or can you shift a little bit to be happy now, and because that's your choice, so that way you can then pivot towards closer to what it is that you desire, which is the freedom that you're seeking in your life. And then once you can get to that place, money will provide you these freedoms. I'm able to give back to charities that I love. I'm able to make an impact in this world in a huge way because I have money. And that doesn't make me evil or bad. It didn't change me. I'm not conceited. I'm not fulfilled. I'm the one of the most generous and fun-loving and just total soulful people that you're ever going to meet. And I have money in my account. It's amazing.
You can have it all. You know, it's interesting. We had a conversation. I was hiking with a bunch of buddies in Peru, and we were getting back from Machu Picchu. And obviously when you're in an environment like that, you have nothing to do but have conversation, connect with nature, yeah. Connect with yourself. Right. And, that was one of the topics that came up was, you know, in general, you can have it all. Like, you don't need to sacrifice anything to go be financially abundant. You don't need to, you know, tell yourself that in order to be successful and fulfilled, all you got to do is grind all the time, and therefore your relationships suffer, your health suffers. Like, you can live this whole life millionaire mentality where, you know, and it doesn't need to essentially mean, you know, six zeros with a one or two or three or 10 in front of it, right? Like, you can still live abundantly like a millionaire. And that's just a contextual word, a subjective word, and still be happy and be fulfilled and not feel like you have to sacrifice all these other things. But in times, right, you mentioned this, and I've related to that. This comment is there will be seasons where you do have to put certain things in front of the others and spend a little bit more time on.
Yes.
But over time, the playing field will even out a little bit.
Yeah. And it's really, I mean, I just heard Dave Chappelle say this last night. I happened to walk in. My husband was watching this YouTube documentary last night. And I walked in on this one part. And he just said, you're just standing too close to the elephant. And it really connected. I was like, I'm totally swiping that. You know, I said, that is fantastic. Because I often talk about, you know, I use this picture when I'm talking about perception. And when you're standing too close to the elephant, right, you don't have the big picture.
Yep.
And so it just looks like kind of a gray wall. And we have to sometimes recognize that you need to step back and say, okay, all right, if this is my big goal, if this is what I want to achieve, okay, what is my path to getting there? And we go through seasons of you having to do things that maybe you don't enjoy, but that's a gateway to get you to something greater. And when you can start to realize that these, all of these situations are temporary, and you choose to shift your energy and mindset around the relationship to it, to be appreciative to it, to be grateful for it while still moving and walking the path, A, you were happy in the moment. B, you are then allowing that abundant energy to continue to flow, because the truth is it will stop if you stop being thankful and grateful and appreciative, period.
Yep. It's funny. The times that I have felt in lack, when I go back and kind of reflect on it, it's usually the times I'm disconnected to those things where I felt the most abundance to it.
And the easiest thing to do is, you guys, just pick up a gratitude practice. It's as simple as, you know, putting a piece of paper next to your coffee pot. If you drink coffee and you go to that dang thing every single day, have a piece of paper and pen right there, no excuses. And in the 1.5 minutes it takes to brew, write out 5 things you're grateful for.
Boom.
Just write it out. Okay, or put a sticky note and say them aloud. Don't say it in your head, say it aloud. There's an energy of when we begin to give voice to that, what we are thankful for. And when you can do that every single day, that simple thing that takes less than a minute, that's going to allow you to continue to be in that energy of abundance. And in abundance doesn't have to just be money. It's abundance of joy, abundance of fulfillment, abundance of love, abundance of compassion and understanding and patience, which are all emotions that are in the higher consciousness gears. When we're talking about being emotionally intelligent, to have access to those means that you have to get off what I call the shame, complain, and blame train, okay? If you're chugging along and you're shaming and blaming and complaining all the time, you're gonna be miserable. You need to get off that dang crazy train and hop on the other one, going to the other direction. And that means we need to start shifting the way we think and feel, because those shame, blame, and complain, they serve a purpose. We need to understand them. But they are lower gears of consciousness. That's what keeps us in what we call a first and second gear mindset. And that is going to keep you in this place of feeling sad or lonely or worthless and insecure, in the fear, in the doubt. All of that exists there. And the simple way, when Matt was asking, like, how do I change this around? What is the number one thing I can do? Right here, write this down. Three words, ready? It's my choice. When you are on the shame, blame, and complain train, chugga chugga choo choo, okay, that's where you can begin to say, wait a minute, it's my choice. I can continue to be in this toxic energy, or I can choose a higher conscious connection, a higher way to think about it, higher way to view it, higher way to perceive it, higher way to interpret it. That means challenging your assumptions, guys. And when we can get to that state and remind ourselves it's our choice, you'll constantly get access to these higher gears. Gratitude is a great way to get there. You have a choice is a great way to get there as well. Two fast track ways to constantly enhance your emotional intelligence.
Love the tangible advice and quick takeaways that you can immediately start today. I'm curious, as we come into the final stretch of the interview, you, I would consider to be playing in the higher gears of consciousness.
Yeah.
For you yourself, where do you see the ceiling, and or what are you doing right now to take it into an even higher gear of consciousness?
Yeah, no, I love this. So somebody once, one of my coaches once told me, she said, if you're seeking a, you know, the Sherpa, right, or the shaman on the top of the hill, she's like, as you get to them and you learn, there's always another one, another level up. There's always another one, another level up. And so what they're saying is that that there's always more to learn. I mean, realistically, I mean, there was a study done out of Harvard years and years ago. I read that, and I'm butchering it, but it's like you could sit down every single day of your whole life, every moment, don't sleep, don't eat, do nothing but study and learn, and you will still not know it all, ever. You'll never know it all. And so when you could really adopt that beginner mindset to everything, to when we talk Ryan Holiday, let go of the ego, because when you know it all, when I know this, I don't need help, I don't need guidance. Yes, I put some tone on there for you. But when we're in that kind of mindset, that's your ego, right? We're closed off. We're not learning. We're not growing. If you constantly adopt this beginner's mind and you approach every engagement, every interaction, every situation with an open mind, you're going to take something away. You'll learn something. So there's never a stopping point. What am I doing this year? You know, I think this year is really, I think you and I were talking, we went to lunch not too long ago, and I was talking about where I'm really most effective is on the stage. So where I'm learning from the shaman of the stage this year, and learning about, you know, how I can continue to evolve my business when it comes to speaking on stages. So
I love it. Well, for those that want to continue to follow your work, get your book, obviously we'll have all the links to Bonnie's book, her website, all the great stuff that she is up to in the show notes or in the show description if you're watching this on YouTube. But for those that do want to follow you, hit you up on social media, connect, what's the best platform to reach you on?
If you can Google, all you do is Google Bonnie Kelly, and I will dominate the first four pages. That was one of my goals when I first started off. I was actually, there was three other Bonnie Kellys. All were surprisingly.
You're like, they don't stand a chance.
Oh, they were real estate agents. I was like, dang it. All right. We're owning the Bonnie Kelly world. So yeah, if you Google Bonnie Kelly, you're going to find me everywhere, guys. That's where I am on social media. That's, you can find all my websites, all my vlogs. You can find everything that you need if you just Google Bonnie Kelly.
Bonnie, as always, I want to commend you for, since you've come into my life through a mutual friend of ours, Rachel. You have not only just added and brought a ton of value, but you are just a breath of fresh air. Every time I'm around you, you have this, you know, super infectious energy. You're always looking to give value. You're always curious and asking questions and listening. And being around people like that always inspires me to elevate my game. And I always learn something every time I'm around you. So I just want to commend you for not only the work you do on yourself, but the work that you do with others and the impact that it has. And I'm really excited to continue watching your work, you know, inspire it and make positive change in a lot of people's lives and businesses, communities. As we wrap up, I kind of alluded to it a little bit earlier, but what's your definition of wealth?
Oh, I love this. My definition of wealth is definitely, you're gonna love it. It's emotional freedom. It's my definition of wealth is being able to not suffer needlessly. And that means, you know, financially, every aspect of your life is need. There's needless suffering when you don't have any money in your bank account, when you are paycheck to paycheck, when you are struggling to make your ends meet, you know, that's suffering. And so I would say the emotional freedom that comes with, you know, just, not beautiful. Being in suffering.
Beautiful answer. Bonnie Kelly, you guys heard it from her. Stay tuned for more of what she has going on. Check her out. Like I said, check out all the links in the show notes. Bonnie, cheers.
Mwah. Bye, guys.
I told you, don't say I didn't tell you. Bonnie brought the heat, and there was a ton that we covered in today's interview. So if you want to go back and check out the show notes, any of the resources, if you want to connect with Bonnie personally, her website, her social media handles will be in the show notes at mattaitchison.com. Or if you're watching this interview on YouTube, feel free to just hit the show description and you can get all the information in there as well. And if you guys are watching this interview on YouTube, or maybe you're not, know that you have the ability to watch this on YouTube and just see that these are, you know, human beings like you and I. And I always like to see who I'm actually listening to. One, to just humanize them and see that they're a real person just like you and I, right? And I think that's the beauty of these interviews, these conversations, getting invited to these spaces is just to know that, you know, they've obviously done some key things right, but at the end of the day, they're made up of flesh and blood just like you and me. And so we release these interviews each and every week on the YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button. Feel free to hit a like on this particular video to let YouTube know that it was a great interview, as well as leave a comment below. Let us know what you liked, what you didn't like, what you'd like to hear more of. If you got a question for Bonnie or myself, we'll make sure to circle back and answer those. And the number one way that you can show me that you got some value from this interview is to leave a review in iTunes. Obviously, we put this content out for free. Pure value to just hopefully impact somebody's life, make a difference. And I'm getting messages each and every day from all of you from all around the world who are, you know, seeing, thinking, acting, feeling differently in some way, shape, or form because of either something I said or something one of our guests said. And the best way that we can pass that value on to somebody else is through, crazy enough, a review in iTunes or SoundCloud or Stitcher or whatever platform you're listening or watching this on, to let, you know, the algorithms know organically that more people need to see this and hear this. And if you haven't left a review and you can take 2 minutes of your day to do that, it would mean the world to me. So with that being said, I'm gonna go ahead and wrap up today's interview with this. I am constantly getting asked, you know, where can I find my mentor? Or how did you find your mentor? Or where can I get more access to people like the individuals you're interviewing? And there's two answers to that real fast. One is if you wanna know what to do and what not to do, because there is a strategy behind this to finding mentors, how I've been able to connect with all my millionaire mentors, there was a method to the madness. And so I created a guide for 5 steps that will tell you exactly what to do and how to do it in order to find your next mentor. You can get that at mattaitchison.com or just text the word mentors to 44222. It'll ask for your email and that'll pop that PDF right back into your inbox. Second, if you really do want to have access to some of these individuals on a monthly basis, if you want to ask questions, if you want to know what's going on at the conferences I'm attending and the masterminds I'm in, the resources, the books that I'm reading, all of that information is available and you can learn more at millionairementorsmastermind.com. Feel free to check that out. Shoot me any questions that you might have. And I always say I'm, you know, accessible to anybody. So feel free to tweet me at My Twitter handle is official Maddie A. Same on Facebook, same on Instagram. I love connecting with you guys. You guys are the whole reason why I do this show, why I'm going to continue to do this show. And with that being said, we got some fire guests coming up. The Millionaire Mindcast is just on a tear right now. And with some of the things that I'm doing and some of the people I'm connecting with, it's only going to get bigger. It's only going to get better. The guests are going to get crazier. So feel free to let me know who you want to hear and who you want to, you know, be really connected with, right, through this this platform. So tune in next week. Great guest. And until then, keep investing in yourself and your wealth on your march to a million and beyond.
Peace.
One of the biggest mistakes most entrepreneurs and small businesses make: not staying on top of their finances and accounting. Can you relate? Well, thanks to FreshBooks, this part of your business doesn't have to be a thorn in your side any longer. I think we can all agree, the working world has changed, and with the growth of the internet and today's new business landscape, more and more people are going into business for themselves, becoming small business owners and entrepreneurs. And FreshBooks is a premier accounting software that will simplify and organize all of these needs for you. FreshBooks and their all new version of their cloud accounting software has been redesigned from the ground up and custom built for entrepreneurs and business owners just like you and I. It's ridiculously easy to use, and it's also packed with powerful features that make it so you no longer need to be a CPA or a financial guru to stay on top of your numbers. Whether you want to create and send professional looking invoices in less than 30 seconds, set up online payments to get paid from your clients faster, tracking client invoices and accounting, the list goes on. FreshBooks has your name all over it. And the great thing is, they're gracious enough to offer a 30-day unrestricted free trial to all my listeners. So go ahead and claim it. Just go to freshbooks.com/mindcast and enter Millionaire Mindcast in the How Did You Hear About Us section.